This is a Flashbooks audio summary on The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra, narrated by Dean Bukhari. The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success is one of those classics of contemporary self-help writing. It's simple, it's straight to the point, and it's by far one of the most profound self-help books ever written because of how easy it is to understand and how easy it is to apply the principles outlined by Chopra in the book. The main idea behind the book is to develop a symbiotic relationship between spiritual success and financial success. The idea that the two don't jive well with one another is often the cause of either moral or financial distress for a lot of people. So hopefully, this summary can help shed light on how important it is to marry these two types of success, both spiritual as well as financial. A quick tweetable summary of the book: there's an easier way to get what you want from life. All you've got to do is get in sync with nature and the universe. A few quick crucial quotes to set the tone. Quote, "When we understand these laws and apply them in our lives, anything we want can be created. Because the same laws that nature uses to create a forest or a galaxy or a star or a human body can also bring about the fulfillment of our deepest desires." Quote, "The best way to put the law of giving into operation is to make a decision that at any time you come into contact with anyone, you'll give them something. It doesn't have to be in the form of a material thing. It could be a flower, a compliment, or a prayer. The gifts of caring, attention, affection, appreciation, and love are some of the most precious gifts that you can give, and they don't cost you anything." Let's dive into the big ideas. Big idea number one: the law of pure potentiality. The field of pure potentiality, according to Chopra, is the silent realm from which all things flow, from which the unmanifest is made manifest. In this state of pure consciousness, we've got pure knowledge, perfect balance, invincibility, and, of course, bliss. When accessing this field, we experience our higher, pure selves, and we're able to see the futility and the waste of just living through our egos. While the ego is based in fear, the higher self, your pure self, exists in loving security. To quote Chopra, "It is immune to criticism. It is unfearful of any challenge, and it feels beneath to no one. And yet, it is also humble and feels superior to no one, because it recognizes that everyone else is the same self, the same spirit in different guises." End quote. So when the veil of the ego drops and we pull that away, knowledge is what's revealed, and great insights just start to pop up. They become normal. Chopra refers to Carlos Castaneda's remark that if we could stop trying to uphold our own importance, our egos, then we'd start to see the grandeur of the universe, the amazing things and possibilities. We can access the field of pure potentiality primarily through meditation and through silence, but also through the practice of non-judgment and through the appreciation of things like nature. Once you know the field, you can always go back to it and retreat to it and be independent of situations and feelings and people and things and all the craziness of modern day. All affluence and creativity flow out of the field of pure potentiality. The next law is the law of giving. So have you ever noticed that the more you give, the more you actually get back, the more you receive? Why is that? Well, according to Chopra, he says that it happens because our minds and our bodies are in a constant state of giving and receiving with the universe. To create, to love, to grow, keeps the flow going. Not to give stops the flow. And like blood, it clots. The more we give, the more we're involved in the circulation of the universe's energy. That's good stuff. And the more of it we'll actually receive back in the form of love, in the form of material things, serendipitous experiences. Money does make the world go round, but only if it's given as much as it's received. If you give, give joyfully. If you want to be blessed, silently bless people by sending them a bundle of positive thoughts. If you have no money, provide a service. We're never limited in what we can give because the true nature of humankind is affluence and abundance. Nature provides everything we need, and the field of pure potentiality provides the intelligence and creativity to produce even more. The next law is the law of karma, or cause and effect. Quote, each cell must discover its own source, the higher self. It must serve its fellow beings and express its unique talents. Heart cells, stomach cells, and immune cells all have their source in the higher self, the field of pure potentiality. And because they're directly linked to this cosmic computer, they can express their unique talents with effortless ease and timeless awareness. Only by expressing their unique talents can they maintain both their own integrity and the integrity of the whole body. The internal dialogue of every single cell in the human body is, how can I help? The heart cells want to help the immune cells. The immune cells want to help the stomach and lung cells, and the brain cells are listening to and helping every other cell in the body. Every cell in the human body has only one function, to help every other cell. By looking at the behavior of the cells of our own body, we can observe the most extraordinary and efficient expression of the seven spiritual laws. This is the genius of nature's intelligence. These are the thoughts of God. The rest are just details. End quote. It's hard to put it more clearly than that, isn't it? Bottom line, keep in mind that every single intention and action you think about and act upon is a cause that's immediately set in motion from the moment you think it or take action on it. This makes you and me responsible for pretty much everything in our lives, barring external circumstances, of course, that are obviously out of anyone's control, like a destructive hurricane, for example. The next law is the law of least effort. Just as it's the nature of fish to swim and the sun to shine, it's human nature to turn our dreams and our desires into reality, and to do it easily. The Vedic principle of economy of effort says, do less and accomplish more. Also known as the Pareto principle, or 80-20. Is such a concept revolutionary? Is 80-20 crazy? Is doing less but accomplishing more nonsense? Is it crazy to think that you could do that? Are hard work and planning and striving a waste of time? Chopra suggests that when our actions are motivated by love, not by the desires of the ego, we generate excess energy that can be used to create anything that we want. In contrast, of course, seeking power over others or trying to get their approval tends to consume a great deal of our energy. We're trying to prove something to these people or to others in external circumstances. Whereas, if we are acting from the higher self, we simply make choices about how and where we will affect evolution and bring about abundance. The first step of the law of least effort is to practice acceptance. We can't hope to channel the universe's effortless power if we're fighting against it. So, say to yourself, even in very difficult and challenging situations, this moment is exactly as it should be. The next thing you want to practice is defenselessness. If we're continually defending our point of view or blaming others, we can't really be open to the perfect alternative that waits in the wings. So be open to other people's thoughts. Empathize with them. Try to see from their point of view. The next law is the law of intention and desire. This is the most complex law of them all, and of course, it's also the most alluring. Chopra notes that while a tree is locked into a single purpose, that is, to put down roots, to grow, photosynthesize, etc., the intelligence of the human nervous system, on the other hand, allows us to actually shape the mind and the laws of nature to bring about the achievement of a freely imagined desire. This occurs through the process of attention and intention. While attention on something will energize it and make it expand, intention triggers energy and information and, quote, organizes its own fulfillment. How's that happen? Well, according to Chopra, he uses this analogy of a still pond. If our mind is still, we can toss into it a pebble of intention, creating ripples that move through space and time. If the mind is like a turbulent sea, we could throw a skyscraper into it and there would be no effect whatsoever. Once the intention is introduced, in this receptive stillness, we can depend on the infinite organizing power of the universe to make it manifest. We should, quote, let the universe handle the details, end quote. The next law is the law of detachment. Now, although you might have an intention, you've got to give up your attachment to that intention in order to realize it before it can manifest itself. Again, you need to give up your attachment to its realization before it can manifest itself. Now, we can have a one-pointed focus on something, but if we are attached to a specific outcome, it will produce fear and it will produce insecurity at the possibility of its not happening, of us not meeting the goal or the expectation that we've set for ourselves. Now, a person who is attuned to their higher self will have intentions and desires, but their sense of self is not riding on the outcome of those intentions or desires. There is a part of them that can't be affected, regardless of what happens. To quote Chopra, only from detached involvement can one have joy and laughter. Then, the symbols of wealth are created spontaneously and effortlessly. Without detachment, we are prisoners of helplessness, hopelessness, mundane needs, trivial concerns, quiet desperation, and seriousness. The distinctive features of everyday mediocre existence and poverty consciousness. Whew. End quote. Without detachment, we feel that we need to force things to happen, to will them into reality, to force solutions onto problems. With detachment, we are free to witness the perfect solutions that spontaneously emerge from chaos. Don't let this outline suffice, though, for the detail and rich prose that makes Chopra such a delight to read. Just get the book if you really want more details on that. but this should give you enough of a key insight on what he means by this law of detachment. The next law is the law of dharma, or purpose in life. Quote, according to this law, you have a unique talent and a unique way of expressing it. There's something that you can do better than anyone else in the world, and for every unique talent and unique expression of that talent, there are also unique needs. When these needs are matched with the creative expression of your talent, that is the spark that creates affluence. Expressing your talents to fulfill needs creates unlimited wealth and unlimited abundance. End quote. So finding your purpose in life is nothing more than just a series of decisions you need to make about which of your unique gifts and your unique skills you want to give to others. So there are three components, according to Chopra, to the law of dharma. Number one, we're all here to discover our true self. As the famous quote goes, we're not human beings that have occasional spiritual experiences, but rather, we're spiritual beings that have occasional human experiences. Number two, express your talents. You've got some skill or some talent within you that's so unique, so special, that you can become the best in the world at doing it. The second component of dharma here is to figure out what that talent is and to express the heck out of it. To quote Chopra, there's one thing you can do and one way of doing it that is better than anyone else on this entire planet. When you're doing that one thing, you lose track of time. When you're expressing that one unique talent that you possess, or more than one unique talent in many cases, the expression of that talent takes you into timeless awareness. End quote. Number three, serve humanity. To fulfill this third component of dharma, we've got to be asking ourselves this one simple question as often as possible. How can I help? That's it. How can you help the people you connect with? Once you combine the expression of your talents with a way to serve the world, you'll be in dharma mode. Do you want to take the law of dharma to the max? Make the following three commitments to yourself, and it'll help you make it a part of your life for good. The first commitment is, I am going to seek my higher self, which is beyond my ego, through regular spiritual practice. The second commitment is, I am going to discover my unique talents. And finding my unique talents, I am going to enjoy myself. And because the process of enjoyment occurs when I go into timeless awareness, that's when I am in a state of bliss. The third commitment, I'm going to ask myself how I am best suited to serve humanity. I'm going to answer that question and then put it into practice. I'm going to use my unique talents to serve the needs of my fellow human beings, and I will match those needs to my desire to help and serve others. Actionable insights from this big idea? The Dharma Test. Here are two questions to help you determine your purpose in life. Question number one. If money was no concern and you had all the time and all the money in the world, what would you do? If you would still do what you currently do, then you're in dharma, because you have a passion for what you do and you're expressing your unique talents. The second question. Ask yourself, how am I best suited to serve humanity? If you can get those two questions down and get in line with them, then you will have been putting yourself in living with the law of dharma. And finally, three steps to putting this important law of dharma to work. Step number one, say to yourself, today I will lovingly nurture the god or goddess and embryo that lies deep within my soul. I will pay attention to the spirit within me that animates my body and my mind. I'll awaken myself to this deep stillness that's within my heart, and I will carry the consciousness of timelessness, eternal being, in the midst of time-bound experience. Step number two, I'll make a list of my unique talents. Then, I'll list all the things that I love to do while expressing my unique talents. When I express my unique talents and I use them in service of humanity, I lose track of time and create abundance in my life as well as in the lives of others. And finally, step number three, ask yourself daily, how can I serve? How can I help? The answers to these questions will allow me to help and serve my fellow human beings with love. Closing notes. The unintended genius of the last century's self-help writing is that spiritual messages have been delivered through instructions of a more worldly material kind. We'll buy a book about prosperity and find it telling us all about the universe's benign and perfect intelligence. We find another that promises the laws of success and are surprised to see that the answer involves just maintaining good karma and reciprocity in our actions and detaching ourselves from the fruits of success. Deepak Chopra is often accused of promoting spiritual values as the means to becoming wealthier, and that's certainly true. He does do that, but it's not necessarily something to be ashamed of, at least not in excess, when the nature of the universe itself is abundant. A life lived in poverty consciousness is sort of a waste of life, isn't it? So the bottom line is that the main idea of the book is the unity of everything in the universe. Though it is overtly concerned with success, maybe the real theme is power or energy. By becoming more open to that unity and perfection, we assume more of its power or more of its energy. And while the illusion of separateness pits us against the world, making us weaker in the process, the best personal development writing, exemplified by the seven spiritual laws of success, is transforming this genre's idea of success from being, quote, master of the universe, look at me, to achieving oneness with the universe and being part of it. Thank you for listening to this Flashbooks audio summary on The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, written by Deepak Chopra, narrated by Dean Bukhari.